Today, we'd like to see the title of a greater than in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 38 up to 40, to align with the people through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth. We'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 41, the man of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in verses 44 and 45, then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. What does it mean? And how can we apply it to our life? Question 3, in verse 50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. What does it mean in this context? And how could we practice it in the spirit? Last time, Matthew chapter 12, verse 22-24, then one was brought to Jesus who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and Jesus healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw, and all the multitudes, or all the people, were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, hearsay here, this fellow does not cast out, this fellow who is Jesus, does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons, that is Satan. Pharisees hear the healing of a demon-possessed, blind and mute man, but did not believe that Jesus is the son of David. That is the messianic title. They did not believe Jesus, the Messiah. Verse 38, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master or teacher, we want to see a sign from you. So verses 38 up to 42, Jesus indeed greater than any creatures. So 38, some of the scribes and Pharisees want to see a sign again from Jesus. So here, some ask Jesus a sign or a miracle more. Verse 39, but Jesus answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation, God as a husband and Israelite as a wife are considered by God. But Israelites serve the other gods, committing a spiritual adultery. So it is called as an evil and adulterous generation. For example, Jeremiah chapter 31, 32, God said, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, this is all the covenants, in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, Exodus, my covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. So here, husband to them, to Israelites, consider. So evil and adulterous generation, they made other gods with God the Father as well. So that's why spiritual adulterous generation. Six after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. So here, the sign of a prophet Jonah is 30 days and 30 nights in the belly of the great fish, and then he got out. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 30 days and 30 nights. Here, Jesus explained his resurrection from death with the Jonah case. With the others, you know, John chapter 2, verse 19, 21, Jesus explained his resurrection. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple of Herod, and in 3 days I will raise up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? John the Apostle explained, but Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. Also, John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus himself, his resurrection from death, explained, "No one take my life from me, but I lay it down of myself." This indicated Jesus by himself to enter to be crucified. "Lay down my life by myself. I have a power to lay it down, and I have a power to take it again, to rise again, to resurrection. This command I have received from my Father." Also, Jesus' resurrection from death is greater than any other his signs to heal the sick people, walk on water, turn water to wine, and so on. Verse 40, "For as Jonah was 30 days and 30 nights in the belly of the great fish, and then Jonah got out. So will the Son of Man," the Son of Man, the ransom title of Jesus for our sins, "be 30 days and 30 nights in the heart of the earth." Here, the heart of the earth in Hades, the Greek word Hades, but the English pronounced Hades, and Sheol, the Hebrew, translated in English, hell, H-E-L-L, or grave, before Jesus' resurrection. Before Jesus' resurrection, two parts of the Hades, one part the torment part, the other part Abraham's bosom, called as comfort part or paradise. Luke chapter 16, verse 23, "And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up," he is a rich man, "lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Comfort part or paradise. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. "Now this Jesus ascended," what does it mean? "But that he also first descended into the lower part of the earth," then meaning here in the heart of the earth. 1 Peter chapter 4, 6, "For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the man in the flesh, but living according to God in the spirit." That meaning the believers in the but the dead in the Old Testament time. That one is when Jesus resurrected, they went into heaven. Matthew chapter 27, verse 52-53. "And the graves," here translated to graves, in the English word, that is a haze or a shell, "graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints, believers, who had fallen asleep," which means in the Old Testament time, "were raised and coming out of the graves after Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many." So now the mansion is ready in the heaven. Jesus prepared their mansion after resurrection. So, book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 29-32, Peter's sermon. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, which means David's bloodline, is genealogy from David, according to the flesh, God would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He foreseeing this, David foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul, the Christ's soul, was not left in Hades, or at the heart of the earth, or Sheol, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses, all eyewitnesses. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, Old Testament law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach it perfect. Now Jesus Christ is a ransom, sacrifice, perfect, once, enough. We don't need any more sacrifice. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, yes, now, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body by physical death or by rapture, and immediately to be present with the Lord, because Jesus prepared a mansion in heaven. So in that way. Then in verse 41, the man of Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. Assyria is the enemy of Israel, continually attack pagan country, will rise up in the judgment with this generation. So here, in the judgment, which means on the judgment day, with this generation, or the evil and adulterous generation, in verse 39, and condemn it, which meaning the man of Nineveh, as the kings who are all the Christians will judge that generation in millennium kingdom. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, in millennium kingdom. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. They meaning the saints, believers, so including the Nineveh citizens, or it's all believers, New Testament believers as well. Judgment was committed to them. So the Lord judgment entrusted to saints. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, the martyred people there during great tribulation, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Also raptured Christians as well. Also 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, also indicate disciple, do you not know that the saints, the believers, will judge the world, will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? This one is Christians are not allowed to bring other Christians to secular court rather than, you know, Christian arbitration or Christian mediation. It doesn't matter. So that time his disciples said, is do you not know that the saints will judge the world right here? So, because, why? Because the men of Nineveh, believers of God, because they repented at the preaching Jonah, Jonah's preaching about God's judgment that is overthrown Nineveh 40 days later. And then the Nineveh repented and believed God. Jonah chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Jonah began to enter the city of Nineveh on the first day work. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Judge it." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fasting, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. So every citizen repented and prayed, you know, to God, so they believe. Here we see that indeed a greater than Jonah is here. Why? Because Jesus' gospel through the resurrection is greater than Jonah's preaching of judgment message leading to repentance and belief of God. Because through the resurrection from the dead, every believer is received a lot of blessings, children of God, eternal salvation, indwelling spirit, joint heirs of the kingdom of God, also daily joyful life, and so on. So that's why Jesus' gospel for salvation is much greater than Jonah's preaching, the message, the judgment, unless you repent and believe God. Verse 42, the queen of the south, that is the queen of Sheba, came to Solomon to hear his divine wisdom and believe God. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with the hard questions. So we'll rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because the Sheba also believed, you know, Jesus Christ through Solomon's divine wisdom. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom. The wisdom is divine wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here, because Jesus' gospel is greater than Solomon's divine wisdom. Every Christian in the New Testament time is greater than any believers in the Old Testament time, because the Spirit of Christ enters and dwells in every creature. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 said, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." In the Old Testament time, John the Baptist greatest, which meaning greater than Jonah, greater than King David, greater than Solomon, greater than Abraham, greater than then. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven, we are children of God, we belong to the kingdom, we are joint heir of the kingdom of God, is greater than John the Baptist, which meaning every Christian in the New Testament time is greater than Old Testament any believers, because the Spirit of Christ enters and dwells in every Christian based upon faith by grace alone. Now, verses 43-45, empty the Spirit of God, being risky to be attacked by other spirits. Here, verse 43, when unclean spirit goes out of a man, so the man has his body and soul with empty spirit, the man here, because the spirit is gone. He goes through the unclean spirit, goes through dry place seeking rest and finds none. Then the evil spirit or devil says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Empty spirit. So he is empty temple. So here is a former demon possessed the victim. Now it's the empty temple or house. But each of us is a temple of the, because each of us, Christian, each Christian is the temple of the Spirit of God. Because once we believe the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, the Spirit of Christ enters and dwells in us. So any other spirit could not enter and dwell in the temple of the Spirit. Because already, you know, occupied by is the Spirit of God's Spirit. That of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, 15. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with the lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Impossible. And what accord has Christ with Belial, in other words, with devils? Impossible. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Impossible. So every Christian will never be entered, dwelled by demons, unclean spirit, other spirits at all. But is a Christian might be tempted by Satan or devils, although the unclean spirit might constantly tempt us to fail. Verse 45, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered and dwelt there. And the last state of a dead man is worse than the first. So, dead man now, the temple of eight wicked spirit. For example, dabbling into occult, witchcraft, wizard board, chant, and so on, before being entered by other spirits. But the Bible clearly against them. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 to 11. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. That is Molech, you know, idol worship, infant sacrifice. Or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, like a palm readers, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls out the dead. That's prohibited. So, the last state of a dead man is worse than the first. Shall it also be with this wicked generation? This wicked generation will be worse. Anyone with empty the Spirit of God would be easy target for other spirits to enter and dwell. So therefore, we should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior. So at that moment, based upon faith, by grace, the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. 46 after 50, God the Father's will known only through Jesus, one mediator. 46. While Jesus was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother is Mary. So that time is no longer Virgin Mary. Mary and brothers, half brothers, like James, the author of the book of James. Mother same, but father different. Jesus the Father, God the Father, because the Holy Spirit conceived. God, Jesus the Father is God. Or Jesus' mother is the Mary. Stood an outsider, seeking to speak with Jesus. Then one said, one delivered man, messenger said, to Jesus, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. Verse 48. But Jesus answered and said to the one, the messenger, who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Here, it does not mean we don't need to honor our parents, but only one mediator is Jesus between God the Father and us. So voluntary humility or false humility cannot be justified. For example, I am not worthy to go to Jesus. I will come in the back door by his mother, Saint Peter, or any creatures, pastors, priests, and so on. So Mark chapter 7, verses 11 up to 13. Jesus' warning not to honor parents. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban. Korban means that is a gift to God. So whatever thing I made offering to God, so they made an excuse not to honor parents. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect, void, to make void, through your tradition, korban, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. So basically, you should obey. Even if you make offering tithes to God, then you should honor your parents as well. Because James said, if you violated the one word, you violated the entire, God's word, that one. You should obey them. John chapter 19, verse 26, 27, we see Jesus honoring his mother here. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, that disciple, John the Apostle, Jesus said to his mother, woman, behold your son, look your son. Then Jesus said to the disciple, John, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. So John the apostle took care over the Mary until Mary's death. That is the assigned his disciple, John. Here we see Jesus honored the mother. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus, only one mediator. Book of Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. This is the stone which was rejected by you, Jewish people, builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by Son, except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So the Son wills to reveal God. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. This is a warning against voluntary humility or false humility. Let no one cheat you over your reward, taking delight in false humility or voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruding worship, Virgin Mary worship, Peter, whatever, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So then, verse 49, and Jesus stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Verse 50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So the will of God the Father is known only through Jesus. And so whoever does his will becomes Jesus' family, one body of Christ, or a holy church on the earth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22-23. And Jesus put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body. Church is Jesus' body. The fullness of Jesus who fills all in all. Let's see each question. In verse 41, the man of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a great than Jonah is here. What does it mean? And what can we learn from here? Because the man of Nineveh repented his sin, the Jonah's preaching for God's overthrown condemnation, then he's a believer at the Lord. So therefore, at the millennial kingdom, they are saints. They become kings to make a judge. So therefore, it's here the judge is this generation, this adulterous evil generation who do not believe Jesus, the Messiah. And greater than Jonah is here, because Jonah is preaching about God's judgment, the overthrow in Nineveh, unless you repent and believe. But Jesus' gospel, not only children of God, eternal life, or a joint heir of the kingdom of God, or a daily joyful life, Holy Spirit dwell in every Christian forever. So a lot of it is blessings, so greater than Jonah. In verses 44-45, then he says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of dead man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. This wicked generation will be worse. What does it mean, and how can you apply it to our life? So every Christian cannot be entered and dwelled by other evil spirit at all, but tempted by evil spirit to fall from God's grace, God's blessing. Therefore, we is seeking for the fullest of the Holy Spirit, and that way is we may have abundant life then. So if somebody do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior, would be targets to be entered the world by other spirits, evil spirits, or the spirit of the world, the spirit of any unclean spirit. Last question three in verse 50. For whoever dwells the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. What does it mean in this context, and how could we practice it in the spirit? This one, in order to know the will of God the Father, only through Jesus Christ, not in any other creature, including Virgin Mary, or Saint Peter, or pastor, so whatever creature. No, only through Jesus Christ we can know the Father. Then, if we do the will of God Father, so we become the one family of Christ. That's called church. So church has Jesus Christ. The body of church is Jesus too. So that is the lesson to us. This message never justifies dishonoring parents at all, because the other scripture, Jesus emphasized honor parents. Okay, let's just sing song all together.